All right. Good morning again. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to jump right in. 1 Peter chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, I gave you guys a title, and I said, I better work on this title. I worked on it a little bit, but here it is again. This is the theme for our passages we've been looking at in 1 Peter. A transcendent hope in a transcendent Savior will lead us to an inexpressible joy that transcends suffering.
Amen.
All right, so there it is, transcends. And we'll talk about that definition again in a minute. But what I think we need to be learning from this passage we're going to look at today, specifically from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, is that we need to be seeking after joy inexpressible. Okay, we need to be seeking after that joy inexpressible and filled with glory. We need to be seeking that in our Lord and Savior. And this joy that I'm talking about, it will help us to endure suffering. Okay? And when I say transcend suffering, and I'm using that word a lot, but it just means to rise above it. You're going to be able to rise above suffering. You're going to be able to endure. You're going to be able to keep going. And something else I hope that we learn from what we're looking at today is that our faith, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, is our most valuable possession. Our faith is our most valuable possession over anything else we have in this life. So whatever you hold to the most value in this life, just put faith above that one. And the benefits from learning these things is that we'll endure suffering because, as it says in 1 Peter, for a little while, if necessary, you will be grieved by various trials. Well, the thing is that little while there means our whole life. All right? Now, sorry to say that to you. Now, your whole life is a little while. Okay, so we're going to talk about that some. But through the trials and through the suffering, we're also going to have assurance of salvation. We're going to have assurance that we are the Lord's. We're His child. And so that should also give us great joy. And that one day, you guys, one day that transcendent hope that we're talking about, heaven, that Pastor Bob's going to talk about tonight, we'll realize that. It'll become a reality. And we'll be there and we'll see it and we'll experience it. And we won't be disappointed. So, transcendent. Transcendent. Again, I just want to talk about this word for a minute. When we think of transcendent, again, it's like we're thinking of God's description of Most High. Okay, God Most High. That's in a lot of verses. But in Genesis 14, verses 19 through 20, it says, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So that was just two verses, and that description is used a lot. But a definition of this, something to think about, comes from John Snyder. And he says, Most High does not refer to a physical distance. Okay? Most High is a term not speaking of altitude, but rather of God's elevated dignity and worth. Okay? God's so dignified, so worthy, that He is elevated high above anything that we could try to think to compare Him to. He's high, elevated so high above. And when we think of that, when we think of Him being high and lifted up, and we think of an ascending order, there isn't an ascending order. When it comes to God, He is high and there's nothing that compares to Him. There's nothing that even comes close. And so as Paul Washer said, The most splendid angel that exists, that stands in the presence of God, is no more truly like God than the smallest worm that crawls on the ground. God is incomparable. All right, so that just gives us an idea. He is so absolutely transcendent. And so, in verses 3 through 5, as actually Nikki just read to us, we see a transcendent hope that we have. This hope that we have in salvation and in heaven, in what God has for us, is transcendent. And I say that to say that there's no other hope like it. There's no other hope that can compare to the hope that we have through Jesus Christ and the salvation that He's given us. All right, and we see in those passages, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And I just want to review that passage briefly again. We know that in Christ Jesus we've been born again. Amen. All right, we have become new creations by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself. All right, through Christ we have peace with God. Through faith in His sacrifice, we now have peace with God. And that's why we can come to the table. That's why we can come to communion and sit and actually have a meal with God. It's because Jesus gave us peace with Him and worked that out. And this inheritance that we have is imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading. All right? It's imperishable, it's guaranteed. All right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no hope like that, like this one. It will happen. It is guaranteed it will happen one day. And it's unfading. It's not going to fade away, like I mentioned a few weeks ago. That luster that this inheritance has will not fade away. All right? It's like that new car that you see that you're just dying to have, and you get it, and then a month later you've already forgotten about it, and it's dark sitting in your closet, and in a couple months you're going to think, I better drive that around or else the mice are going to like eat up the cords on that or something, and it's not going to run anymore. But with this inheritance, it's not going to fade. It's not going to lose its luster. We are going to be absolutely amazed and enjoying this salvation. We're going to be enjoying heaven forever, and it will never ever lose its luster. And from those passages we know that God is guarding us. By His power He is guarding us. And these things, our hope, our transcendent hope, it should encourage us to press on, right? To keep going. Alright? We can do this. Keep going. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. And what does it mean when it says it? Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Let's look at that. You know what? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I was just reading verse 13 to you, but let's look at verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. So what is it? I do not consider that I have made it my own. And verse 10 in Philippians chapter 3 says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's that inheritance, right? We're going to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. We should be seeking to fellowship with our Savior in His sufferings. Being conformed to His death, even to the point of death if necessary, if that's what God calls us to, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So that's it. God, sharing in His sufferings and realizing the power of His resurrection. And so back up to verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I hope you guys are realizing that more and more. Amen. How to forget it. Forget what lies behind. Yeah, I made a mistake. I messed up. But Jesus has saved me. He's washed me. He's cleansed me of my sins. And so I just need to keep my face forward and keep going forward. I got to stop listening to Satan and stop letting him bring that stuff up again and making it me dwell on it. I've got to go forward. Amen. I've got to go forward. I had a bad day. All right. It was a bad day. It was a really bad day. You want to know what's the worst? If you're having a really bad day before you got to come up here in front of you guys in this pulpit and preach. That's hard. Amen. But you know what? That's in the past. And we got to keep going forward. We got to keep moving forward. And going forward and seeking Christ. So praise the Lord. Those verses 3 through 5 and that inheritance should encourage us to do that. And then verses 6 through 7, back in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 7. It tells us there. And if you can, turn back there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And again, I just want to look over these verses again. But this passage right here, Peter is doing something, okay? He's doing something. He's validating suffering, all right? He's validating it to us. He's saying, look, we're gonna suffer. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna be painful. It's gonna emotionally drain us. We're gonna be emotionally drained to the point where we just feel like we can't go anymore, all right? He's validating. He says, it's gonna happen, all right? Just know that. It's gonna happen, and it's okay. It's okay. Expect this. Expect this. And that's good. That's good for us to hear that. All right? We're not going to be blindsided by these trials. We're not going to be blindsided by these sufferings. Look, we know these things are going to come. They're going to happen. We're not going to be surprised. Peter's not telling us in the midst of our suffering and our grief, what's wrong with you, you ninny? What's the matter with you? Put a smile on your face. Be happy in your suffering. No, he's validating it, okay? He's saying it's going to happen. All right, it's going to happen. Amen. And that's okay. Yes. But we know we're going to get through it. We know we're going to get through. He's going to get us through. Amen. But in these passages, we should rejoice over suffering because it also gives us assurance of our salvation. Yes. It assures us that we're a child of God. Okay? When you enter into a fiery trial, when you enter into these struggles that we're in, the sufferings, and you continue in faith, all right? Your faith continues through that suffering. Your faith goes stronger in Jesus Christ through the suffering. Then that should bring us great joy. Because we know that we are a child of God. We know that He's the one strengthening us to get through the trial. And we know for sure that, oh, Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. I just went through something horrible, but here I am on the other side of it and I'm worshiping Him. Amen. I'm praising Him. I know He's my Savior. I know He's the one that's taught me this. I know He's the one that's given me His Spirit to have me at this moment of worship right now on the other side of this. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Then I know God is protecting me. He's sustaining me. He's protecting me. He's holding me up. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm on the other side of this again. Again, I'm on the other side of this trial. And I'm worshiping Him. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 9 says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." Amen. And so we're not surprised. We're even looking for opportunities to suffer. We're looking for opportunities to suffer for the gospel, to fellowship with Jesus in His suffering. We know these trials and suffering also brings us maturity. We should rejoice in that. It brings us maturity. Look back at the passage here. In verse 7, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire." And as I said in the beginning, you guys, our faith in the Lord, our faith in Jesus, our faith in the Word of God is more precious and more valuable than any other possession that we have in this life. Our faith is.
Amen.
That is the most precious thing that we have, is our faith. It's more precious than gold. We know that gold is a precious metal. It's the most sought after, most precious metal that there is on this earth. All right? Think of the gold rush, right? California was very sparsely populated, but after the gold rush, it boomed. I mean, everyone was coming to get the gold. And we know throughout history it's been sought after. And maybe gold is not so precious to us right now. I mean, I'm sure we'd like to have a gold nugget or something, or find a buried treasure. But we have things that are more precious to us than gold right now, don't we? And when I speak of that, I think of earthly things, you know, our house, our money, or our family, leisure, right? Those things are precious to us, but they should be nowhere near as precious to us as our faith is. Our faith, we need to know that. Our faith is our most precious, valuable possession that we have. So listen to this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith."
Amen.
All right, you guys, we gotta fight.
Amen.
We need to be fighting for our faith, our most valuable possession. Fighting for that faith. All right? Not just sitting idle and letting our faith flounder or weaken because of attacks that Satan sends our way or the world sends our way. All right? We've got to fight for that faith. We got to fight that our faith would be increasing and growing, that our trust in the Lord would be doing that. All right? We cannot be idle about this. We've got to fight. We've got to fight for our faith, our most valuable, precious possession, and make sure that we are investing into our faith and making it grow and increase. Because as I said in the beginning, though for a little while, if necessary, you will be grieved by various trials, and that little while is our whole life. You are going to struggle and suffer and fight sin your whole entire life.
Yes.
Okay? But this life is short, isn't it?
Amen.
We see in 1 Peter chapter 1 at the end, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The rabbits are eating our grass on the school." Pray against those rabbits. But if you go up there, that grass is brown in some areas, and it's not doing so good because they've eaten it all. All right? That's like our life. It's going to get brown and it's going to fly away soon. It's going to be over. And I can't guarantee this because I haven't experienced it, but I believe that when it comes to our final breaths, you know how we talk about, oh man, that day flew by, or man, that month, that whole year flew by, I can't believe how fast it went by. In our final breaths, we're going to be saying the same thing about our life. Man, that was quick. That went by so fast, and it's going to be over, and you're going to be in eternity. Okay, but know that it's going to be over quick, you guys. So it is true when he says a little while. And our dying breaths, we're going to be like, man, that was fast. I can't believe it's already over. All right? And that's why time is more precious than money. And we've got to budget our time. We do. Money, you can get more of it. You can lose it and you can get it back. Time, you don't get it back. You've only got so much. And so, those things should encourage us to keep going. To be steadfast, to keep going forward in this Christian walk through suffering. To hang in there, know what's going to happen. But trust the Lord and know that He's going to see you through. Alright, so now we're going to look at verses 8 through 9 in 1 Peter 1. And it tells us there in verse 8, and though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. All right, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. All right, we see here Peter, he's talking to the early church and he's telling them, hey, look, I know you haven't seen Him, but you love Him, don't you? You don't see Him right now, but you believe in Him, don't you? And of course, Peter, we know Peter. He saw Jesus. He touched Him. He was with Him. He spent time with Him. He knew Him personally. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1, the Apostle John. Look what he says in the first verses. 1 John, in the back, by Revelation. 1 John, chapter 1, and verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us.
Amen.
What a blessing that we have the testimony of multiple witnesses to Jesus' life.
Amen.
Multiple witnesses in the New Testament that saw Him, that touched with Him, that lived with Him, that ate with Him, that listened to Him. We have multiple witnesses.
Amen.
To this. We have the witness of their life. They died for this man.
Amen.
They gave up everything. They gave up everything to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, to be obedient to Him. All right? We don't have a religion that came from one man who had a vision. And from that vision, He's given us a word that we need to live by. And we need to believe in. We have a whole multitude of witnesses.
Amen.
That gave their life. And that should give us great confidence.
Yes,
it should give us great confidence. Not just one person, but many. But know this, Peter right now, he's writing to Christians that have not seen Jesus. They have not touched Him. They have not listened to Him speak. They did not see Him after His resurrection. All right? So we need to know that He is speaking to Christians just like us. All right? Christians just like us that did not see Him or know Him. But they love Him and they believe in Him. And not only that, they rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. And if those Christians are just like us, they are just like us, then we need to be just like them in what's being described right here. He is telling them what they are experiencing, okay? They are experiencing this. Their faith is causing them joy inexpressible and full of glory. And therefore, we should also be having that. We should have that. They're Christians just like us. We should know this. We should know this description. Look at Thomas, okay? Thomas didn't believe at the end. He didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected. The apostles told him, look, we saw Jesus. He's alive. He's here. Thomas said, no, I won't believe. I won't believe unless I touch those holes in his hands and I touch that hole in his side. I'm not going to believe. And you know what, Thomas, he gets a bad rap, you know? Thomas is the one who doesn't believe. Thomas is the doubting one. Doubting Thomas. But you know, we shouldn't give Thomas such a bad rap. Thomas did some pretty awesome things. Alright? What did he do? Yeah, he wanted to make sure that Jesus had rose again. But as soon as Jesus was there, as soon as he touched those holes in his hand and he saw that hole in his side, what did he do? What did he do? He worshipped. He worshipped. He proclaimed to Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my God. Look at that worship. Look at the worship that was just poured out of that man to Jesus. If Jesus is not God, then that's blasphemy. If Jesus is not Lord of heaven and earth, then he should have stopped Thomas right there and said, shut your mouth, Satan. But he didn't, did he? He received that worship. He received it because Jesus is Lord and God. And Thomas right there gave such worship and praise. How awesome, Thomas. That is awesome. How many times have we seen his apostles do this? I don't think we've seen it at all. That's the first time. The first time that we see his apostles who walked with him worship him as Lord and God, who he is. So good job, Thomas. We don't have to give you such a bad rap, do we? Doubting Thomas. Faithful Thomas, worshiping our Lord. But what does Jesus say to him? You have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. And that is true for us. We haven't seen him. We know in 2 Peter, Peter talks about it too. I was with him. I've seen him. I was touched him. I saw him at the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw him reveal his glory. I saw his glory unmasked. And I heard the voice from heaven. He saw those things, but he assured us that we have something more sure. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We have the eyewitness accounts of those who have seen him. We have God's teaching directly given to us, and we need to have faith in that. We can't doubt that. If you're doubting that, if your faith is weak because you don't believe that this is the Word of God, you're in trouble. And you need to shore that up. You need to work on that. This is the inerrant Word of God, and we need to trust in this completely. This joy inexpressible and full of glory is something that it baffles description, okay? Joy inexpressible and full of glory. It baffles description. It's beyond description. When we say full of glory, we're saying that we're worshiping the Lord in a way that's It's like a hint of heaven, all right? It's like a hint of the worship and the praises that are going on in heaven right now for those who are in the Lord's presence. It's a hint of that. Just like how the saints in glory are worshiping. And remember, Peter is writing to Christians that have not seen him, just like us. And this is characteristic of them, and it should be characteristic of us. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that's kind of a tongue twister, put it this way. He said, I must become like that. We need to tell ourselves that. I must become like that. I will not be content with anything less than that. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. I'm not going to sit here and try to explain it away. Oh, that was the early church. That was the early Christians. They heard from the apostles. That the time was different. It's different now. We can't explain it away, you guys. We need to be longing and seeking this truth in us. This should be true of us. Martin Lloyd-Jones even said, we should wake up every morning thinking on this, desiring this. Every single morning we should wake up and think of this passage. Think of this passage and long for that. Lord, I need this. I want this. Though I have not seen Him, I love Him. Though I do not now see Him, I believe in Him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Martin Lloyd-Jones believed that, you know what? We pray for revival, but you know what's going to happen that's going to bring revival? Is when the Christians, when God's people are walking around and experiencing this. Amen. And when the world sees Christians experiencing this, revival is going to start happening. Amen. And so we need to have this. So listen to this. Anything that is worth doing is not going to be easy. All right? We know that, right?
Amen.
Anything that's worth something is going to be hard. Amen. It's not going to be easy. I don't have an easy fix recipe for you to wake up tomorrow morning and experience this. It's going to take some work.
Amen.
All right? And we need to work on it because our faith is the most precious thing that we have.
Amen.
And we should be working on our faith. There's nothing more precious that we have. But here's some things that I believe will help us to experience this. Number one, we need to know Him.
Amen.
We need to be getting to know Him more and more and more. It'll be a given. The more you get to know Him, it's going to come.
Yes.
You're going to love Him.
Amen.
We need to work on knowing Him. He is the Sovereign Lord. Jesus, the Sovereign Lord, who has dominion over the whole earth, over all the heavens. He has dominion. We've been going through our study in Sunday school, the attributes of God, and studying the sovereignty of God. We've been looking at verse after verse after verse on Jesus' almighty power and dominion over all that He has created. And in each one of those verses where it says Lord and God or Most High, you can put Jesus' name in there. You put His name in there. He is the Sovereign Lord. And we know that right now He's sitting on the throne of heaven. And we should rejoice. We know that He is a good King. Here's something else that will help you in knowing Him. In having joy in Him. Know this, that our Lord, our King, He will never, ever, ever tempt you to sin. He's never, ever, not once, never going to put temptation in front of you. If there's a temptation in front of you, it is not from Him. If there is something that's trying to bring your faith down or trip you up or make you fall into sin, into some snare or trap, it's not from Jesus. It's not from Him. Look at James chapter 1. Turn there. Right after Hebrews, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 13. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Know that, you guys. Any temptation, anything that's causing you to stumble or doubt or to turn you away from Christ is not coming from Him.
Amen.
But what is coming from Him? All right, look at the next verses. Look at verse 16 and then verse 17. I'll read 16 again because we shouldn't be deceived. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good and perfect gift you have comes from Him. Anything you receive from Him is good. Always. Every time. He gives good gifts. We know that. We can't forget it. We cannot be deceived. Anything that is good comes from Him. And He doesn't change. Everything that comes from Him is good. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? He's not going to trip us up. He's not going to change. He's going to give us good gifts every time. Romans 8:28, right?
Amen.
All things work together for good. All right, all things. We can be assured, any suffering, any trial that we're in, God can use that for good.
Amen.
Don't let Satan make you think he's ready to devastate you and rock you and crumble you, turn you into dust and powder. There's nothing anyone can do about it. No, whatever that trial or suffering or situation, God can use that for good.
Amen.
He will. He promised us. He's not going to change. He's going to do it. We know that Jesus is the good shepherd, right?
Amen.
We know He's the good shepherd. We think of a shepherd, we think of Psalm 23. We think of Psalm 23. And you know what's good? When you read Psalm 23, personalize it, okay? Put your name in there.
Amen.
Put your name in Psalm 23. And know that that is true. Alright? The Lord is Fred's shepherd. Julie has what she needs. He lets Angela lie down in green pastures. He leads Jody by still waters, by quiet waters. I'm actually reading from the Christian Standard Version. He renews Dennis's life and Beth's. He renews their life. He leads Oscar along right paths for His name's sake. Even when Mark goes through the darkest valley, Mark fears no evil, no danger. Matt fears no evil and no danger.
Amen.
For you are with Mark. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort Mike Oldham. You prepare a table before Dustin. In the presence of Dustin's enemies, he's going to bring peace between you and your enemies. There'll be reconciliation. You anoint Ken's head with oil. Ken's cup overflows with blessing. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue you all the days of your life.
Amen.
Faithful love will pursue. Faithful love. God is pursuing you with faithful love all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as Matt, as I live, as you live.
Amen.
And we know that's true. His inheritance will not perish.
Amen.
It will not fade away. That's the one that is our Lord and our Shepherd. And that should bring us great joy. And as we get to know Him, we'll experience more and more of inexpressible joy. There's more to it, guys. There's work to do. Alright? There's work to do. We need to abide in Him. How it talks about in John 15, abide in Him. Be obedient. Be obedient to Him. We need to fight the good fight of faith, right? Our most precious possession. Fight for your faith. Grow your faith. Work on your faith. And we need to have like a rule of life. I was reading in this book. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's a good book called Emotionally Healthy Spiritually. But it talks about having a rule of life. A rule of life where we are disciplined to be in prayer. We're disciplined to be reading Scripture. We're doing these things. And it's going to look different for every one of you. We all have different lives, different commitments, different situations in our life. But however that fits or works, it's obvious in our life that these things are valuable to us. They become a rule in our life. I need to be in the Scripture. I need to be in prayer. I need to have times of silence and solitude where I get away by myself with the Lord.
Amen.
And spend time with Him alone. Those should be rules in our life. Because our faith is the most precious thing that we have. But here's one more thing, you guys, and it's true. It's true. The key to joy, inexpressible and full of glory, is suffering for Christ. Okay? The key to joy, inexpressible, is suffering for Christ. If we're not suffering for Christ, we're not going to know joy, inexpressible and full of glory. If we're not being obedient and denying our flesh and being obedient to follow Him, to obey His commands, we are not going to know joy, inexpressible and full of glory. If we're not waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, Your will be done and not mine, show me, please show me, He will. I'm submitting to Your will. We are not going to know joy, inexpressible and full of glory. We see it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We see it in James chapter 1. Rejoice. Rejoice at that trial. Rejoice at that suffering. We see it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul says that I share in Christ's suffering. That's the it. That's what I'm seeking, to share in suffering with Christ. That's totally opposite from the world, isn't it?
Yes.
That's totally, absolutely opposite. That's absolutely opposite to our culture. It says, you'll have joy inexpressible when you have that dream vacation. But until then, you got to drudge through life and count the hours, count the clock as your job comes to an end each day, just longing for it to be over. You can have joy inexpressible anywhere as we walk in obedience and abide in Him, as we suffer as He suffered, as we deny our flesh. So, you know, we sang that hymn, Through It All. And Fred, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Pastor Bob to close us in prayer. But before we do, I'd like to sing through that chorus together one more time. And if you need to come forward, if you need to come forward and repent and give something to the Lord that you've been hanging on to, saying, Lord, I enjoy this, I want this, I desire this, so therefore I'm not going to obey you, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to enjoy this life as much as I can, and I'm not going to be trying to suffer so much. I haven't really been trying to seek joy inexpressible and full of glory in you, but Lord, this thing right here in my life, I need to lay it down. Because it's taking away from my faith. It's taking away from my walk with you. If that's you and you need to come forward and give that to the Lord, do that today. But also too, I just told you the goal of this life as a Christian, as a believer, is to relate to Jesus in His suffering. And if you don't know the peace of God, which is a treasure beyond any human suffering. That'll cause you to transcend suffering right there. But if you don't know that yet, and your flesh is just screaming out right now, don't do it, don't go forward, don't give your life to Jesus, don't put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know how much this flesh enjoys that sin. Don't do it, don't walk forward, do not. You need to silence that. You need to come forward today and trust in Jesus. Amen. And let today be the day of salvation for you.
Amen.
And begin that walk that many of us in here have begun. And we, each one of us, can tell you, you will not regret it one ounce, one bit. Even if in this life you have trials and suffering until the end, you know what we have to look forward to. All right, you know, an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled.